Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me now by phone, fingers crossed, because of the phone trouble we've been having lately, is Representative Nathan Boyles, former Okaloosa County Commissioner, owner of Adams Sanitation, and also District 3 Representative in his first term. I think quite boldly and bravely voting no on the property tax referendum that Governor DeSantis proposed, but let's talk to him about it. Nathan, welcome back to the Pensacola, or I can't tell if we've had you on before, but welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, Andrew, good morning. And I'll say sometimes some people may consider something bold. One person's bold, maybe another person's stupid. So we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Oh, and by the way, you do still own Adams Sanitation, right?
No, so actually, thanks for asking. We actually recently, wife and I sold the business here about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So it was a great 8-year adventure, but time to move on to other opportunities.
Outstanding. Well, very good. Well, I will say this, I thought you would have made a great representative. And when you decided to run, I'm like, oh, sweet. I mean, because he's got all the different experiences. He's got business experience. He's got county commissioner experience. He'll represent the local panhandle. So I was, I was excited to see you be in office. And then you went and committed political suicide in your first term. So I'm eager to find out why. You and actually General / Judge Maney were the only two to vote against this proposal. Why did you vote no?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So, I mean, first, to be super, super clear, I appreciate the governor's leadership on this issue. I'm proud that the legislature took up the issue of property tax reform, and I believe that property tax reform was overdue in the state of Florida. And
agreed.
So, this is not an issue for me of being oppositional to the concept. In fact, I think it's something we should have been doing. So, for me, I really had two kind of primary concerns. One of those was directed at local governments and the impacts of local governments, and then the other was directed at how this will impact certain segments of Floridians, whether those be businesses or folks who may be newly relocating here, like, say, new young airmen moving to our community. And so, So talking first about, local government, I think, I've learned that Florida is a big and diverse place, and there's a lot of cities and a few counties that have probably gone over the edge as it relates to spending, as it relates to prioritizing things that are out of step with what we would expect them to prioritize with spending their dollars. And they have some really high millage rates across the state. But that is not the case, at least in the two counties that I represent. Santa Rosa County, and in particular Okaloosa County, has one of the lowest millage rates in the state. And so we have been historically very conservative. And what that means is that under this proposal, there is simply not enough room to cut out of the budget to absorb the significant amount of revenue that's going to be lost, which would mean not a tax cut, but a tax shift. Or the cutting of significant actual services. They may be talking about laying off sheriff's deputies, closing libraries, shutting down animal control, figuring out how do we shift our inmates out of our jail and close our jail because we're not going to have enough revenue to fund all the folks that we need to run all the shifts at the jail. Those are the types of significant consequences that will be faced in some jurisdictions who have been conservative with their use of the millage rate.
So some places can certainly use a belt tightening or a little bit of, fire, to get rid of some of the fluff. But as you say, there are a lot of places where that's not true. And so it really would be either you shift taxes to some other source or you're going to have to cut services. And, kind of in that vein, I want to say what you said a little different way, and I want to make sure that I don't misunderstand you. It sounds to me like what your view is, I love the idea of property tax reform. I love the idea of cutting property taxes, but this particular proposal is not doing it smart enough or with enough attention to the consequences for me to support.
I think that's well put. And I think, and to be clear, I think, Okaloosa and Santa Rosa County probably could absorb a 5%, maybe a 10% with some pretty significant consequences. But when you get into the, you know, the 30% plus out of their non-restricted ad valorem general revenue obligations, that is just very, very significant. And it's important to note here that, you know, one of the things that we did not do that would have, I think, would have made this effort much more fruitful is we did not have a discussion about how we then unrestricted some of these local governments' other revenue sources. And I think the best example of that is bed taxes. So as the county commissioner, I fought with the legislature for years over giving counties more authority to spend bed tax on the things that those counties and the citizens in those counties wanted to prioritize. And that was a constant fight because the legislature and the, you know, the lobbyists in, you know, represented large interests in the state who wanted to see those dollars continue to be restricted always fought against that. And so a county losing revenue under this proposal will not be able to take bed tax to backfill, you know, core critical services. And so you'll have this tremendous irony where you may have a county spending millions of dollars a year on marketing materials for tourists while they are simultaneously laying off sheriff's deputies. And so that was the, you know, this thing was not fully baked in that sense of thinking through all of those subsequent consequences and then building the structure around that to resolve those issues.
Yeah, I mean, like here in Escambia County, that just to take a particular application for that, our commissioners just voted to spend $25 million on turf upgrades for a soccer complex, which may pay off, may not, but they did it in part because there are only so many things you can do with the tourism development tax or bed tax money. And, you know, if you're spending as much as you want on advertising, or if in our case you've kind of maxed out your infrastructure, so maybe we don't need to be keeping up advertising, you know, why not free up some of that money to be used on other things? We've got a revenue source, let's use it, especially if we're making these cuts in other areas. You know, one of the things that you explained, Nathan, that I really appreciate is, and I wondered this, but you've already confirmed it, I wondered how much your experience as a county commissioner affected your thought process about this particular proposal and how it would affect all of the 67 counties. And it sounds like dramatically.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, the focus there is really on having a functional understanding of how a local government's budget works. Now, and so, I don't want that to be misread as simply, you know, sympathy for local governments. Look,
right.
I've dealt with a lot of local governments, but, you know, if I put on my business hat for a moment, I've dealt with the worst side of local government business decision-making. And so this is not a, you know, not born out of simply love of local government. Now, I do respect and appreciate what local government does, and I think that we would all be in a bad way real quick if local government went away tomorrow, as much as we love to hate it. But this was really born out of me just having an understanding of the actual mechanics of what the implications of this resolution is ultimately adopted as a referendum by the voters, what those implications will be in the communities that I represent. And those implications could be really drastic. Or, and this pivots to the other half, Andrew, if those consequences can be avoided. And so the way those consequences can be avoided is through a tax increase. And there is nothing in this referendum that will prohibit local governments simply from jacking up their millage rates to offset all of the lost revenues. And so that's the other half of this, is at the end of the day, we actually did not do anything to ensure that property taxes across the board will be lower. What we did is we ensured that certain groups of people will no longer be pulling their weight as it relates to property taxes. And so Okaloosa County, for example, could choose, I don't know what they'll do if this passes, but they could choose simply to raise their millage from the current 4.5 mils or so to 6.5 or 7.5 or 8 mils. What that will mean is for everyone who owns an investment property, for every small business, for every renter, and for every new young family that's maybe just moved to Northwest Florida, as, you know, got military orders, moved here, decided to buy their first house, because that's what many of those folks do, because they love it here, and it's their first chance to build wealth for their family, to put down some roots that they'll come back to at the end of their service. All of those groups of people will now pay more to make up for the rest of us, and I say the rest of us because, you know, I have a homesteaded property as well, right?
Sure.
Make up for the rest of us who will no longer be pulling our weight. And so that's the other half of the equation, is that this is potentially the largest tax shift in the history of the state of Florida, so far as I know, where we are going to take the cost of something that we all receive, and we're going to hand it off to someone else. And in doing so, we're going to drive up the cost of rents. We're going to drive up the cost of goods and services that we all pay for. And we're going to make it more difficult for young families, young professionals moving into the state to try and make a go.
You know, it really resonated a lot with me when you mentioned the military, because, you know, the natural sentiment of this proposal is, you know, reward the people who live here and punish the people who want to come here, or at least make it a little bit more of a cost for them to come here, because, you know, we don't want them just coming here and taking advantage of our no income tax and no property taxes or low property taxes. But we are very eager to preserve all the military mission, the desire for military folks to be able to come here. And I don't think anybody wants to see them be discouraged from coming here, especially because they don't come here permanently, or at least not long. You know, they might come here eventually permanently, but not right in the beginning. And that impact to military families, big impact. And I hadn't even thought of that as a criticism here. Let me just shift for a second, because I have a couple of things I want to make sure and ask you about here. One is, I found the arguments, and I hate property taxes. Like, I think they're philosophically indefensible. I don't like them, don't believe in them. Renting your property from the government makes no sense to me. But this would shift, as you said, likely shift from homeowners to renters, who are also struggling with affordability, because, you know, property owners who rent out a property are just going to shift it to them, and that's going to suck for them. But also, you're still renting your property if it's commercial from the government, and you're still renting it because of the school board. They caved on the school board, or pushed back, depending on how you want to say it. But that bothered me about this proposal, that it did nothing on the school board slice, in part because the state would have had to backfill that, and the state doesn't have to pay the cost for counties and cities getting their budgets gutted.
Yeah, no, I think you're accurate. One, I philosophically agree with you, but you know, before you kind of before you tear apart the airplane, you better have a plan for rebuilding it, right? And right. I think that's part of the problem here, is if we were going to do away with property taxes, we didn't have a plan at the ready to substitute those revenues for local governments, to whatever it may have been, a sales tax or however else. And then, yeah, I think the reality is that, you know, as much as I'm enjoying my new role as a representative, it's one of my historic critiques of the legislature, and nothing has changed there, is that, you know, they're pretty protective of not doing something that is going to require, real belt tightening in Tallahassee, right? Right. I mean, we've certainly done some modest belt tightening over the last couple of sessions, but certainly not to the level that we are now expecting out of local government. And to your point, you know, and a lot of people don't know this, but the state and the school districts are really kind of partners in the funding of the public school system. And so a portion of those revenues come from property taxes via the school district, but a significant portion comes from the state. And if one half of that equation becomes imbalanced, then the other would have to make up the difference, because
by law, school districts, yeah.
Right. And because unlike a county or city, you know, what we have said, what you've heard some folks comment out of the legislature is, well, counties and cities can raise taxes, they can raise the millage rate, they can add fees, they can add taxes. They have all these different levers that they can pull on to make up for those revenues, which again is evidence this is potentially just a big tax shift.
Right.
But what we're also saying is, but the school districts don't have that, right? They have what they have, which is their limited authority on a millage. And they don't have services they can cut back. As far as I know, you know, the school districts can't decide that they're no longer
not to provide, right.
Feed kids lunch, right, or not have buses.
Hey, Nathan, we're running out of time, but I absolutely wanted to make sure and ask you two things that are about the political choice, because I think they're both – it's very understandable why you and Judge Maney were the only Republicans to vote against, because everybody else voted for it. It's two consequences. We got about a minute left, but DeSantis is surely going to retaliate against you and – line item veto stuff that you supported, and voters might well say to you, dude, you just voted against me getting a $3,000 a year tax cut. What gives?
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of frame this up. One, I don't know what the governor will do. I hope he doesn't line item veto, because that would be punitive to the people I represent and today, not to me. Right.
But he's done that before. This is going to be no surprise, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think, you know, my choice was between pork and principle. I chose principle, right? And I think I slept well with that decision. It's the same way I operated as a commissioner. I never made decisions based upon political consequence. I don't think that's the right way to lead, and I don't think that's the right way to govern. I'm comfortable with the decision I made. I'm comfortable that every time I've explained my decision, the person I've been explaining it to over the past couple of days has said, okay, I get it and I can understand. Maybe I don't 100% agree with you, but I respect that you spent a lot of time thinking about it and you took a very hard decision and you did so on principle. I can live with that. And so, I would just simply hope the voters can too. Maybe they agree, maybe they don't agree, but what I hope they want is a representative who is careful, thoughtful, deliberate, and at the end of the day, principled, despite what consequences may come.
Nathan Boyles, he is our state representative for District 3. Like I said, the northern majority of Santa Rosa County and then some of Okaloosa County. Nathan, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on today. A fabulous job. I appreciate it. I certainly respect the decision. And thank you for taking some time to explain it to our listeners, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
I enjoyed it. Take care, Andrew.